back. WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is positively a fun week around here. It's my birthday week. We're celebrating down at Fadley's, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill, and it's Halloween season, so make sure you're getting your Halloween gear out at your local Goodwill as well as giving, which we did last month, and our friends at Window Nation, you buy two, you get two free, 866-90-NATION, do what I did. I'm very, very happy Window Nation customer. Trust me on that. We're going to be doing it on Friday. I got some great guests coming down. A couple council women from Baltimore that I'd love to get together with. Odette Ramos, who I saw earlier this summer, and Felicia Porter, who I've never met, but I've had her on the Zoom. So it's going to be a great, great day. My pal Tom Cole stopping down. I got people stopping down. It's going to be my birthday. There's going to be cake. Crab cake from Fadley's. Hope this guy stops down or we get together. I'll ship him out to him. He is our chief digital officer around here. That's CDO for you kids keeping score at home or buying one of the little window stickers to put in the back of your car. He is Mike Rosenfeld. He's my pal, and he's at Web Connection, the outsourced chief digital officer, traveling all over the place, getting travel points, hanging in Austin with the cool kids and all that stuff, learning about the new arena. And more than that, I got a lot of feedback on our piece a couple weeks ago about the website crash, and I think anybody that's visiting us or watching this ad on our website has seen that we're going places, Rosenfeld, aren't we?
We are. I mean, I think I told you out of trauma, because that's what it felt like, comes motivation to take us to another level. So, you know, we got through it. We got through it as bad as it was. We got through it okay.
No look one at you smiling now, dude. He was not smiling. Let me tell everybody in the audience.
It was all weekend. It was
not a happy dude on September 8th, 9th, and 10th. Let me tell you what. That was not good times.
Yeah, my unhappiness was really at one organization, Bluehost. I don't mind throwing them under the bus because they earned it. And lack of ability to support you when you needed it. So it is what it is. We're in a much better situation now. I can tell by talking to you how motivated you are about what you got going and the changes.
So can Jessica Vallis at Harford Designs.
Right. So yeah, you got someone to oversee your day-to-day stuff, which is all we could have asked for.
Yeah, now things are good on my end, but this is what you do. But more than that, you try to get out and see the world a little bit. You've been a CEO for many, many years. You've helped me with my business. We've known each other for all of this century and a little part of last century as I remember it. Austin, Texas, okay? So I had threatened to go to South by Southwest with several buddies, including Jason Pappas, many times back when it was like young and cool. I went to Austin one time in my life. My brother lived in Austin in 2003. I remember exactly when it was because I was falling in love with my wife. I went to the Barnes & Noble and bought relationship books on trying to figure out, oh boy, you're in love. What do you need to do next? So I do remember that, but I went to see Springsteen. And I partied all night with Brian Baldinger and Kurt Menefee. It was a long story, but it was 19 years ago. And when I got there then, there was no South by Southwest. It was still UT and still sleepy in the Frank Irwin Center. And I've heard of the growth. I know of the growth. I had an old boss that lived down in Barton Springs and hung out down there back in the 80s when life was free in Austin, Texas. I don't know what I would find in Austin now as the state capital of the weirdest state in the country, the first most likely to secede. I don't know how they're going to vote, but I know Austin is one place I'd like to go. I haven't had a great enough excuse to go, but Springsteen's playing in a couple of months.
Yes. So, I just got back last week. The story behind it is I do a podcast with two other guys. One you know very well, Bill Cole from Cole Roofing. The other is Matt Moore. And the theme of the podcast is to have real conversations about cities. The challenges of cities and the goal is to learn what we can bring back to Baltimore to improve Baltimore for all of us. So as part of that, we get together some pretty high level, successful people who are intrigued by what they also could do to help their city. And it's not everyone that lives in Baltimore. So this is the first trip that we've done post-pandemic. fortunately, I was somewhat familiar with Austin because when my youngest son graduated college during the virus, he immediately moved to Austin, Texas.
You've eaten a lot of barbecue. I mean, honestly, you know, when I think about it, you know, you look like a barbecue guy.
I am a barbecue guy. I'm an amateur hobbyist as well.
So, well, you know what's weird? You and I have never had this conversation about like Austin, but like now that I know this about you, I would reach to you and say, like, what's your favorite one? You know what I mean? Like, I need to know these things.
Yeah. So, and I could answer that since you asked. Blacks.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, good.
I've been to both. I've been to Franklin's, which is...
I've been to both of them, too. I went to both of them 19, but I don't remember them, and maybe my palate wasn't... They were both fine. They were smoky. It would smell... I walk out, your clothes stink, you know, in a good way. You know, like, I remember all of that, you know?
Right. Well, the good news is, and I know we're not going in a linear order, but that's how
we
you
never
and I
do.
Roll.
That's the program. Yeah, yes.
That's right.
I'm here to confuse you and ask gotcha questions. That's why I got thrown out at the Ravens.
I flew down to Austin during the Ravens-Bills game. I saw on the plane the first half. And when we landed, a group of us said, and I'm a diehard sports fan, but a group of us said, hey, we can go. My son had told us there's a Ravens bar, which kills me that there in Austin, there is a bar dedicated to Ravens fans. So we can go there or we can go to Black's Barbecue for lunch and just check our phones every once in a while. And it was unlike me not to go to the bar and watch the game. We went to the barbecue spot and I'm glad I did.
You're a tech guy. You got football on your phone with Peyton Manning. Just put the game on, dude.
That's exactly right. So bottom line is we go to Texas and go to Austin to try to learn. But we know, look, is Baltimore Austin, Texas? No, Baltimore is not Austin, Texas. But is there anything we can take away? So as we're going there, one of the people who is on our trip says, hey, the Oakview Group is – there's an office, a major office in Austin. They just built the new arena on the University of Texas campus in Austin, and they are doing the arena in Baltimore. They would love to speak to your group. I assume they wanted to speak to our group because it was a bunch of Baltimore leaders, and they probably want to sell suites. And we're like, you know what?
Can I say one thing about my Bruce experience that night in Austin?
Please.
Nils Lofgren gave me a ticket. I went completely alone. My brother didn't want to go. It was a pit seat. I wind up running into Baldinger, who's with Troy Aikman and Jason Garrett. I mean, it's Austin, Texas. But that arena, and it was 19 years ago, okay? Mm-hmm. And 19 years ago, I'm seeing Springsteen in a new arena in Pittsburgh, in Madison Square Garden, in, you know, the buildings. But he's also playing Knickerbocker Arena in Albany and the old Hartford Civic Center. He played the arena here twice, you know, during this modern era, right? So it wasn't always just the United Center or the Staples Center or, you know, the most modern hockey or basketball arena. And a lot of times you can't book tours in April and May and June because they're holding dates, so going into weird places. But that was the one of the more rickety buildings that I'd seen. It's the Frank Irwin Center. You can look, it was orange and white, just like UT, and it was circular, like for rodeos. So it sort of looked like a little Astrodome, you know, like a little mini Astrodome, and it was circular. And I saw Bruce there, and I'm like, this is kind of cool. It's like Hershey Park Arena, but bigger, you know, kind of was old schoolish. And I never thought about like, oh, they need a modern arena there. Like they're like an entertainment capital. Like they need. And Mike, I've been to Tulsa, Oklahoma to see Rush. The Tulsa, Oklahoma arena is the nicest arena I've been in this country. Like it's incredible. These folks you're talking about, Oakview, and I have a local guy here I know involved in this downtown. And I've talked to them about it a little bit. I've been in their new arena in Long Island for the Islanders. I went up and I saw John Mayer about 4 months ago up there. And the arena's like strangely a lot of lower bowl seats because of the artists getting more money and like all of that. So I know a little bit about that. But that Austin arena, it's replacing a dump, right? Like, I mean, I guess my point is 20 years ago I went there and I'm like, you know, Austin thinks of itself as cool. They better get like what Tulsa has, you know?
Right.
And that's something for our city with baseball and football. You know, we haven't talked arena around here, and this thing is sneaking up on people here, you know, and they're going to be shocked at how nice can be when they're used to what we've had, which was not even good in 1968.
Well, look, you're the media guy, but if I was to title this episode of our conversation, it would be "Get Pumped About the Arena," because let me tell you, I don't know if they blew up the arena that you were referencing that you went to and built this Moody Center on the same footprint, but it was state of the art. Well, I forgot that part. Bottom line is they want to speak to our group and they're like, "Hey, we're having a show the day that you're traveling, the night of the Bills Ravens game. We have a suite. Would your group like to have access to our suite?" The suite that we would give you access to is going to be what we're modeling the suites in the Baltimore arena. And I'm like, and we're like, "Who's playing?" And they're like, "Harry Styles." Now, I'm a fan.
He's a big deal.
I'm a fan of, so he's gone to, he's only gone to four places in the U.S. He's not like going town to town to town. He went to New York.
He plays Madison Square Garden. I had friends who went to that show. Yeah.
L.A., I believe Chicago, and Austin, Texas. And he did like five shows in Austin, Texas. But he did. He didn't go to Houston. He didn't go to Dallas. He went to Austin. So, and I'll tell you why in a moment.
Can I make you laugh on Harry Styles?
Yeah, go
I
ahead.
Went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction in, I want to say 18 or 19, okay. But I think 18. The year Def Leppard went in. So okay. Def Leppard, The Cure, Stevie Nicks. Stevie Nicks went in as a solo artist. So my buddy Julio from San Francisco says, "Hey, I'm flying into Barclays Center, New York. You want to come up?" I went up. We got some tickets in the back down. You know, dude, it was a 7-hour show. Like it lasts all night, right? And it was like cool, but it opened with Stevie Nicks coming out to do – she did Stand Back. And then she's like, "I got a special guest," and it was "Stop Dragging My Heart Around." And I'm like, "Well, Tom Petty just died. Like, who's going to do that, right?" So this young, hip guy comes out. He's like, all good looking. He's doing his thing. And he's, you know, "Stop Dragging." And I'm like, I said to Julio, "Who the fuck is that? Who's that guy? I don't even know who he is." Like, yeah. I had no idea who he – I'm like, he must be pretty big deal to be on stage with Stevie Nicks doing the Tom Petty. Like, I'm Googling Styles, S-T-I-S – the Harry, oh, boy band. Oh, that guy. So I didn't even know who he was 4 years ago. And I know, like, he's a big deal. That's all I know. He's a big deal. I can't sing any of his songs, but I know he's a big deal.
I think he is – his tour is the number one tour in the world. So it's
well, he gets off next song. She's like, "I have another special guest. Please welcome Mr. Don Henley." And they did the Leather and Lace. I'm like, I know who he is.
Right.
I know
who. Well, here's some tie-ins. So we go to the Moody Center. It was fantastic. The suite is unbelievable. I mean, if they're bringing these suites to the arena, I mean, we're going to be.
Dude, all of you guys are gushing about this. Yeah. All of you who went, just were very impressed by all of it, right?
Yeah. So the next day, so we go to the show. Look, I stayed for half of it. I just wanted to see the experience. Because my takeaway is probably the enthusiasm for Harry Styles is probably, and I'm not trying to overstate this, but the decibels of the screams of these girls.
John Mayer was like that 20 years ago, and it was very
awkward. Justin Bieber, John Mayer, maybe back in the day, Elvis.
Beatles.
You know, yeah, the Beatles. I mean, there was a thing. You could tell there was a thing. But the next
so this day, is like when your granddaughters are raised and you and he becomes Sinatra and they're on your lap and you're like, "Yeah, Grandpa walked out of the Harry Styles show in Austin that night."
Yeah, that's right. I won't say that.
Don't be that guy.
They'll beat me up. But, but believe me, half the show was enough to get the vibe, which is what I was looking for, to absorb the arena, which is what I was looking for. The next day, two representatives from the executives from the Oakview Group speak to our group, and they basically said, not basically, they did say, everyone in our business saw two markets as being very, very coveted and competitive. Austin, Texas, and Baltimore, Maryland. At that point, Bill Cole and I look at each other and we're like, what? What is he talking about, Baltimore, Maryland, in the same sentence as Austin, Texas? The takeaway is, and Bill and I talk about this later, why is it that our first impression is we're not good enough, or how can we be in the same sentence as Austin, Texas?
Well, we were a tourist, sexy place. I lived at the Inner Harbor. 40,000 Red Sox fans would come in here and Yankee fans and utilize Disney World and everything behind me. And it feels like that never happened all of a sudden, right? It feels like Baltimore was never cool or foodie or musicy or artsy or easy to get to or crab cakey or kitschy or charming. It feels like none of that ever existed because of what's happened there the last 15 years. Literally,
we don't know what we have. We're half empty as a community instead of half full. And I was like, maybe they're just trying to sell sweets, you know, and all
no,
that.
No, they bet $220 million on it. They're for
exactly.
real.
They're not stupid. Then, and I just want to get people excited about it because they showed us, our group was the first to see a rendering, a video rendering of what the arena is going to be. It's unrecognizable. The stage, they're blowing out that stage at the very back. And they're putting in a humongous stage.
It's breaking my heart because that's where Steven Tyler let me put my head on his shoulder back in 1984. And you know how many memories I have? Ron Hextall shaving in the big mirror there after he gave up like 9 goals to a bunch of like guys who should have been playing in Norfolk. So I have memories backstage at the arena, you know?
Yeah, from decades ago. How about making new memories now?
Elvis played there. That's Zeppelin played there. Sinatra.
It's still the same bones. It's just a new stage. It's going to be okay. But
Robert Plant shook his ass there.
So basically
what
their pitch was, and this is why I believe them, because there was a talk about Kevin Durant being part of building the arena, redoing the arena, but I don't think he's part of the Oakview group. I think there were people competing to get this gig, and Oakview group got it. So basically the rap is that Philadelphia, but in DC, it's at the arena in DC, there's like a X number radius of distance that an artist can't also play. We're outside that. But the arena wasn't in a position to deal with all the weight of the trusses and the stage to handle all of the staging that they have. The new one will. And it's going to be a stop along the way for these major artists. I mean, we already know that Springsteen's going there.
Blink 182.
Yeah. I got another email that someone else has booked there after it's supposed to be redone. But let me tell you who the two principals of the Oakview group. Do you know this? Do you know who the two main people are? Okay. Well, you're going to, if you don't know the name, and I was wearing it yesterday. One co-founder is Irving Azoff. Do you know who that is?
I know Irving Azoff, yes.
Okay. So just for those people who don't, he's a 2020 inductee in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's a manager, exclusive manager of some of the following.
The Eagles. Well, I already mentioned Don Henley in this thing.
That's right.
He probably managed Stevie Nicks.
Fleetwood Mac.
There you go. Right. Exactly.
Steely Dan, Journey, Bon Jovi. And one of my favorites, Van Halen. But don't assume that he's dead and all of his people are classic. He's currently
Which belt buckles? Now hold on here. Let's see. This band and this band. How many more bands?
I love them both, but I take Van Halen when I can. He's Lizzo, Travis Scott, Harry Styles, Christina Aguilera. It goes on and
on. Does he have any Blue Oyster Cult?
I don't see Blue Oyster.
Oh, just checking. Yeah, they weren't as successful. So
right. So just so my understanding is they own a piece of the revenue generated by whether it's the suites or whatever the case may be. They have a vested interest to get talent in there. Well, when one of your co-founders manages all these bands and has that influence, they're going to come. The other guy, and I may mispronounce this, but you may know this based on your area of expertise, Tim Lewicki.
Yeah, Tim Lewicki. He's a legend. Yeah.
He's the other co-founder. There's only two. Can you tell? I mean, all it says here is sports, NBA, NHL, CEO of AEG Group.
Well, the CEO of AEG Group would be like how I know him. So,
okay. So the bottom line is These are the two co-founders of the Oakview Group. The Oakview Group is redoing the arena. If you're not pumped now, I mean, I saw the renderings, the video rendering of what's going on. I mean, I can't wait. So that was one of the big takeaways.
Well, don't walk out of the Harry Styles concert when they bring him in here, okay?
Right. Yeah. It was more like, how are we going to figure out how to get back to the hotel? We don't know where we are.
Well, and this would be a Baltimore positive segment. By the way, Mike Rosenfeld is my partner here at Web Connection and our chief digital officer now that we got our website back up in awesome shape and we're traffic's up. Thank you very much for coming out, being a part of this. Thank you for reading my Ravens diatribe. There's more to come for that because the season's going on and I'm writing columnists and all that stuff. But I would say for the city and for the vision of murders were down for a period of time recently, right? Like we've had some good news statistics. The city's back open again. Meatball Mondays at Amici's every week. So there's reasons to like come downtown and be a part of it. But part of it would be on the night when McCartney plays, on the night when Billy Joel plays, on the night when the Ravens play the whomever in a game that matters, and on the night when the Orioles have a playoff game, people are going to come downtown and they're going to participate. When Garth Brooks is at this new arena, they're going to come down, right? And when they come down, what is that experience at the hotel? What is that experience at the restaurant? What is that experience with people? What is their experience in feeling safe? What is their experience in bringing their family or saying, I want to come back? And Mike, I just say this. My wife came down here before I knew her for like a four-day thing she had to do for work. It was a convention thing. She wore a little badge, walked around downtown. She always tells me that she had great Thai food at this place up in Mount Vernon. You know, this was 1999, 2000, whatever. And her impression in 4 days when she met little Manchester, New Hampshire, met a guy from Baltimore. We smooched. We fell in love. She's like, Baltimore, God, that was like great weekend. Like, I'd love to go back to Baltimore. I had a girlfriend before that from Erie, Pennsylvania, who went to state college, who came down on a bender one weekend and thought, oh, I want to go down and live there in 1991, 92, right? So across, and I'm sure when you were single or even in your life and you're hiring, you met all of these young boys, young girls that came from Pittsburgh, New Jersey, got a job in Under Armour, whatever. They're Red Sox fans, they're Steelers fans or even Eagles fans or whatever. And they move here. And they're a part of this. This was a hip, cool place to live, be Camden Yards, Ray Lewis, like all of that. And somewhere along the line, the public safety issue, Freddie Gray, a century of systemic racism, blackballing, roads to nowhere, all sorts of ish, bad ish, cauldron this thing up. And we got to start rethinking this. Because all we're asking for is invest in us, believe in us, bring us a better arena that brings us a better Springsteen, that brings us a better hotel, that brings us jobs, that brings us community, that opens Port Covington, that finds this place to be as attractive as you and I have thought it to be for half a century because we've lived here, right?
Well, 2 days after I returned from Austin, I went to the board meeting for the Baltimore Convention and Visitors Association. And they had a couple of speakers there. One I remember is, I don't remember his name. He's the general manager of the Pendry. A couple others who aren't from here. They're not.
Oh, you would be Juan Webster?
Yes.
It's Baltimore, dude. Yeah. Juan threw both of my events for my wife, both of the Gen Strong events we did with Mike Tomlin. He was working at another hotel over by the arena, the former Omni, Hilton, you know, whatever it was for a million years, where Shula Steakhouse was next door to the Lord Baltimore. Juan ran those properties and threw events for me, and he's been at the Sagamore. Right. He's a beautiful guy. I'm trying to bring the Rec Chop House, the Crab Cake Tour, so stay tuned for that. So yeah. We'll have you down that day. You'll be my guest that day.
Well, and it wasn't just then. It's even people on our podcast. My friend Marianne Scully, who was from Howard Bank and now the dean of the business school at Loyola, she's from Pittsburgh. Bottom line is, I hear over and over again people from outside of Baltimore who moved into Baltimore, who now call Baltimore their home and love it here. And going back to the Bill Cole and I looking at each other when they say Austin and Baltimore are the two hottest places from an arena standpoint, and us feeling like, what? We just don't know what we have. Yes, we have a lot of problems. I mean, no one's going to argue that. But, you know, if you watch, and I hope people don't do it too much, but if you watch the news about the midterms, every single city, it's crime, 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 crime. That is not unique to us. I personally don't begrudge people who say to me, I'm not going downtown. I don't feel safe downtown. I don't begrudge them, but I'm not living my life that way. I know I'm
you want that experience. You want to be there for half a Harry Styles when he comes.
I find the risk to me and my family to be so minimal, based upon the places that I think I'm going to go, that I'm like, I'm not going to live my life in a shell, and I'm going to explore. And that's my approach. But once again, I understand the other side where, like, yeah, my wife doesn't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable. You know, so
I have been made to feel very uncomfortable in Baltimore at various points, and that shouldn't shock anyone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, there have been lights I have driven through. I had a friend had a gun pulled on him by a squeegee guy three months ago, and his good friend of mine, business owner, loves the city, lived in Federal Hill. Once it happened, it's over.
Right.
You know, just over. You know, like his wife just decided it's time to go. And this is a guy who's from the county, who's lived 30 years in the city and loves the city, loves every part of the city that I just documented.
Right. And that's valid. I mean, that's their experience. And like I am saying, everyone's got to do what they're comfortable with.
We hated leaving the city, but we don't hate it in the county. We use the city all the time. I mean, I'm at Faithley's on Friday celebrating my birthday for breakfast, right? So, like, the only difference is I got to figure out where to park now. So learning parking spots in the city and knowing the city really well. The other thing is I don't walk as much, and I miss that immensely. But I miss the city, and let me put it to you this way, okay? And you'll make me cry if I talk about this on my birthday, right? But I'm 54. If on my 60th birthday I decide downtown's for me again, and I go back down there and find this 2030 version of Baltimore that has been lifted through, like, our website a couple weeks ago, through some adversity and some challenges, and we've turned the corner with good leadership, maybe Westmore. Who knows, right? Like, and I'm going to have Felicia Porter with me, and I'm going to have Odette Ramos, who are waking up every single day. Two beautiful ladies in this community, trying to lift their communities, and we're going to talk to them at length on Friday at Fabies, which is, you know, why you support me and friends like Bill Cole who were there. Like, we really are. This is what we're trying to do. But that vision of living back at the harbor again in a similar way and enjoying Amici's and all the things that I love 6, 10, 8 years from now, when I'm in my 60s, to move back downtown and be hanging out with you with your grandkids at Harry Styles and laughing about it, right? At the arena and, like, all of that. And the Orioles have had a parade, and the Ravens give me my press credential back. You know what I mean? Like, if that were the case of downtown Baltimore 8 years from now, give me a shovel. Tell me what I can do to help build that.
Well, I think each of us, if we just, and you said people from the county come in, and they do, but so many people in the county won't. And so,
but that's got to change. And part of that's bringing Harry Styles downtown.
Right.
And making it safe.
One thing I'll leave you with, which you have a part of. The first time I saw you again after the pandemic was when you were at Nick's at the race track,
okay.
And I was doing a segment with you and Tommy, and I think I may have choked him up when I explained to him how big a part Nick's in Fed Hill had in my right after college life, maybe even during college.
It's a special space to you, right?
Yeah. On Fridays after, you know, just being in the real world and working, you know, 50 hours a week and going downtown from the county, going to Fed Hill, grabbing a humongous beer or three.
Foot soaker.
Yeah, going to meeting my brother and friends, eating steamed shrimp, going to an Orioles game from there, or just staying there, having sushi for the first time, you know, there, not knowing what sushi was. These are things that I remember. And I don't know where, because I never lived in the city. I owned a property in the city because my business was located down there until we went virtual. But I mean, I don't know why Baltimore has made such an impression on me, but it has, and I love it. And I want the goodness of our city to overcome the challenges that we have, and to people to enjoy what we have. And that would be a goal of mine, to open some people's eyes. You know, I went out, I had a post pickleball dinner yesterday where four of us are sitting at the table. Two of them will never go downtown.
Do you sweat when you play pickleball?
Oh, yes.
I just wonder. That's all. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, my normal thing is a Peloton, which is boring, but I get it longer.
I'm a hot yoga guy. When I'm done hot yoga, like, drinking doesn't feel like the last thing in the world I want to do after I do hot yoga is, I just want to eat like pho and eat something light and soupy and go nighty night, which is why I'm thinning out.
I had a salad. I'm not going to say that some of the people I was with didn't get a cheesesteak.
Dude, I've done hot yoga classes with these young, sexy girls downtown in Federal Hill, and five of them are all talking about, like, in my yoga studio is next to the breakfast joint, right? Like, so people that would do breakfast and then go eat bacon next door, or go drink beer around the corner, or go pound nachos and margaritas after class, it just blows my mind.
It's amazing.
All I want's a blanket and some coconut water, man.
I'm not going to lump you in the same category, but it's amazing how our brain synapses work, where one moment we're talking about our shining city, and then we're on to pickleball, margaritas, hot yoga, and all
because
that.
Those are the things you do in a great city,
just like that. Yeah, there you go. I like how you looped it back.
Anyway, I was just giving you a hard time at pickleball. Tell me what you do in the real world other than resurrect and help save my website, make sure that domain names are right, and that transfers are made, and the GoDaddies and the Bluehost and all of these liquid webs and all these crazy vendors all make sense to a kid from Dundalk just trying to make my way, Mike.
Sure. So I'm an outsourced chief digital officer. I work with small to mid-sized businesses who realize that they should be performing well online, whether it's their website or apps or social media, email marketing, all of that. I'm a strategist. So as an executive or a chief digital officer, my job is to oversee the entire strategy and then execute on that strategy. So when you had your trauma, I'm not a bits and bytes guy. I'm not going to be the one who's going to fix your website or transfer it from one host to the other. I'm going to analyze what the trauma is and say, this is what we need to do to get out of this. And that's what we did. We found the right people to do what needed to be done in a timely manner. And now we're on the other side of it. Fortunately, most of my clients don't have to go through a trauma like you did, but it's hey, everyone else seems to be kicking my ass with their businesses online. I have a marketing person who means well, but really can't keep up to speed with everything that's going on. I can't hire someone full time to do it because it's a chief digital officer is a $200,000 to $300,000 a year proposition. But is there someone out there who, on a fractional basis, in a way I can afford, can oversee this for me? And that's what we do.
Mike Rosenfeld can be found at Web Connection. You can find him at on the front of WNST's new website at BaltimorePositive.com. Please do that. So, dude, I had to pull a couple more belts because you said Steely Dan when you were talking to Irving Azoff. So these are my Steely. These are the fun belts. But I haven't listened to Steely Dan enough lately. So for my birthday, to sort of chill out a little bit, I'm going to go old school, listen to Little Walter, and our dudes from Steely Dan. So what do you think there?
I love it. I can only see one of them, but
oh, you can't see them both. You can't see the Asian.
I see. Yeah, now I do.
Now you do. Right. All right.
Yes, I do.
No static at all, as they would say.
That's
right. Absolutely.
Right.
All right. We're not 19, but I'm going to go listen to Hey 19. I'm going to chill out. It's my birthday. This week, we're going to be celebrating at Fadley's, doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill. I'll have my little truck And it's Halloween season. Make sure you're supporting our friends at Goodwill, doing some shopping. Dude, I'm thinking of doing the David Bowie, either Ziggy or doing Aladdin Sane for Halloween. So if you want to go out for Halloween, let me know. My wife's out of town. I'm looking for David Bowie partners, people that might want to be the Thin White Duke or something like that. That's all with our friends at Goodwill. And don't forget Window Nation as well. And Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. I think it might have been Mike asking about that last week. Do you really get two? Yes, you buy two, you get two free. That's the deal. Take advantage of that. And come see us and throw me a birthday note and go read my piece about the media and free speech while you watch the Ravens take on the Giants. In honor of that, we're having Brandon Stokely on this week because I think Ravens Giants, I think Brandon Stokely. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.